Drugs and bribery story is getting more lurid, but first we need to have a talk about China's slowing growth.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. There's news today that China's economy is still growing, but at its slowest rate since 1991. April to June, the world's second largest economy grew at a 7.5% annual rate, and anyone connected to the global economy, which is probably anyone listening at this moment, should pay attention. Chen Liu is Deputy Director of the Economist Intelligence Unit in Beijing. Dr. Liu, good morning.
Good morning to you.
The Chinese government has been signaling this for a bit, that the government could live with slower growth in China. Do you think they can?
Absolutely. The Chinese government is happier with the slower growth. So I would say forget about double digits, or in a way, forget about the magic 8. Nowadays, 7, if not 7.5, is what we should be looking at.
The overall plan is to try to shift the Chinese economy away a bit from being so dependent on exports and maybe more toward domestic consumption. But then I see retail sales in China going down a bit.
One of the key reasons why the retail sales was growing so slowly compared to before, I mean, we're still talking about above 10% growth, but compared to before, this was quite a dramatic decrease because it was a combination of the anti-corruption campaign. Part of that is also related to the whole business confidence about not sure where this economy is going.
So when the Chinese government goes after corruption, meaning people in the middle, often connected to the public sector, skimming off the top, that means those officials are buying less and therefore that impacts retail sales?
Yes, because part of the corruption money will be going into various kind of spending. Now, for instance, we saw that there's this very famous Chinese liquor called Maotai. At its high time, the price was close to 2,000 RMB, which is slightly above $300. But nowadays, the price is somewhat half compared to just 6 months ago. So you can already see the sharp difference coming from the anti-corruption campaign.
Chen Liu at the Economist Intelligence Unit in Beijing, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
There are new details today in a case that broke last week involving the pharmaceutical giant GlaxoSmithKline allegedly paying bribes in China. China's news agency Xinhua today identified the names of four Glaxo managers who are accused of paying millions of dollars in bribes to encourage sales of its medicines, included a Glaxo VP and human resources director for China. Authorities say the bribe money was funneled through a travel agency. GlaxoSmithKline has said it's cooperating with the investigation. Its stock in London is currently down 0.25%. Now let's do more numbers. Right now, the FT 100 in London is up 0.3%. The DAX in Germany up 0.2%. The key stock index in Shanghai went up 1.4% despite slowing growth in China. S&P Dow and NASDAQ futures are up at the moment. Friday, the Dow went up 3 little points. In about 1.75 hours, the U.S. government will answer the burning question, how much stuff did Americans buy, a.k.a. retail sales for June?
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
It's likely you've already heard predictions that the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, might force employers to lay off employees, reduce hours, and cut seasonal positions. But a report out today from the National Bureau of Economic Research finds that about 1 million workers could voluntarily leave their jobs because of the new health care law. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein explains why.
In 2005, something dramatic happened in Tennessee. Finances forced state officials to kick 170,000 people off the Medicaid program, which primarily serves low-income residents.
And that's the largest disenrollment in the history of Medicaid, so this was a pretty big change.
Tal Gross is a health economist at Columbia and a study co-author. What happened next, says Gross, is critical to understanding the potential impact of Obamacare.
Roughly half of the people who lost public coverage regained private coverage through an employer.
That's right. People went back to work just so they could have health insurance. Gross believes we'll likely see the exact opposite under the Affordable Care Act, with up to 900,000 people leaving their jobs, because for some, the option of subsidized insurance is better than work. Economist Joe Antos with the American Enterprise Institute says this is a kind of test for Obamacare.
If we see over time that people do in fact migrate from employers, then that's a pretty good indicator that things worked out well.
Antos says leaving a job behind is a sign there are affordable insurance options out there. But he says it also means able-bodied adults will get taxpayer-subsidized health coverage when they could be at work.
The question I think we have is, what is the cost to taxpayers? What is the cost to society?
This report, though, gets at something bigger. Obamacare weakens the bond between your job and your health insurance. MIT economist Amy Finkelstein says it's hard to make good choices with those two linked.
Like, let's take a crazy example. Suppose we said the only way you can get food, you have to work 20 hours a week as a marketplace reporter. You would be better off if you could choose them separately. Some people like to be marketplace reporters and some people don't. Most people, though, do want food.
This report makes it clear the new law gives people choices they didn't have before and that there's a price for that. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And Philanthropy 101. First, commandeer $100,000 of your sister's money. Today, Warren Buffett, the investor of legend, makes his appearance teaching an online course in charitable giving. As a teaching tool, Warren's sister Doris has chipped in $100,000 in real money that the class can give away. 4,000 people have signed up to a course that will also feature other celebs, such as Cal Ripken Jr. and Ben of Ben & Jerry's. Over time, Buffett's giving away his $58 billion in stock in his company, Berkshire Hathaway. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.